I'm going to say a little prayer first. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and just thank you just that what we, our faith is not just a faith. It's a reality, Lord. So, Father, I lift up this presentation. And I just hope that it would encourage people in their faith, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple things. There's so much. I'm only going to do about four or five slides. And it'll be slides that are you know, you go, well, this one doesn't have a lot to offer. But you'll see what I think the purpose of what it's all about. And you know, remember when Jesus was going into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders were trying to tell him to quiet the people. And he said, if I quiet the people, the rocks will cry out. Well, I really believe right now, and what I'm going to share with you are some archaeological insights to what has happened in Israel and what they're finding now. And the rocks are literally crying out. They cannot hide this story, you know, even though the world wants to hide Jesus, okay? And this is interesting. I want you all to know that when Pastor Kurt preaches from this word, when he goes through a geographical area, when he goes through something in here, it's real. I mean, there are miracles in here that we can't explain, but you can trust, and maybe this will help visualize a little bit of what he's speaking of as he goes through his scripture with, especially through the book of Acts and the whole Bible. Also, I want to say that if you can validate the past, guess what? With God's word, you can validate the future. And what we see going on in the world right now is exactly what God said would happen. And so guess what? That validates the past. So, you know, I just want you to come away with this encouraged. So remember last week I mentioned Heather. That's her right here. Let me warm up my laser beam here so you can see her. That right there is the Red Sea. It's the Gulf of Eilat. We were on a boat. She's pouring a Pepsi there. And she's the one that is Jewish. She's a secular Jew. She came from New York and moved to Israel. A lot of Jews are doing that. Anti-Semitism is rising its ugly head. I don't know if some of y'all heard Ann Graham this morning and her message. And also, people are coming back to their place of safety. And she made a comment that, you know, that Jesus is not mentioned in the Hebrew scripture. So bottom line is, I gave her a couple scriptures, one out of, both of them out of Isaiah, and her last comment was, when she read Isaiah 53, that's absolutely Jesus. And I almost had tears in my eyes, because it was like God's Holy Spirit, you know, reaching out to his chosen people and opening their eyes to Jesus Christ. So beautiful setting there. You get a little bit of, this is the most southern tip of Israel. Here, we're just below Eilat. This is the same area, just maybe about, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 miles south of here, maybe even a little bit further. That's where they actually had the Red Sea crossing. And there's a pattern of evidence movie that's coming out. It's already had three parts, and they're going to validate through empirical evidence, pros and cons. They bring professors and PhDers on both sides, and they show exactly where the crossing was and where the real Mount Sinai is. And there's a lot more to that unfolding. And just right south of this, and so where we were at. We actually went for a swim in the water. We had a great time. But this is the prelude to probably the most colorful picture you'll see, other than maybe the last one. But go ahead and flip to the next slide there. Okay, this is Israel here. Now, I'm not, you know, I wish I had a world map, because it's the gateway to three continents. That's how strategic it is. I talked to a tour guide when we were in Jordan. We went to Petra, which I'm going to talk about. They have really nothing to offer. Jordan doesn't. But you know what he said? He said, location, location, location. And you wouldn't believe some of the plans. China's looking at developing a highway that goes all the way from China, all the way into Europe, all the way to the African continents. And guess what? It's got to come right through this area here, along, you know, shipping and all too. So it's a very powerful location. Now, what I'm going to talk about here, I was hoping it was going to show up a little bit better here, but Beth Shean is a town that I'm going to talk about, which is approximately right up in this area here. There's the Sea of Galilee. This is the Dead Sea. Jerusalem's right here, give you orientation. This is the Mediterranean Sea. Eilat, where the boat was and Heather was down here. Petra is about right here. And then we're going to talk about Shiloh and Bethel. And then Jerusalem's right there. So I just want to give you an overall perspective how small this country is. Right now they have ISIS is over in this location here. This is the Gaza Strip, a lot of complications here. Hezbollah, the Hamas. Here's the West Bank here. You can see how thin it is. You know, you can be in a jet fighter here, and within seconds, you could be over the center of Jerusalem. They actually have a nuclear reactor right in this area here. That's where they have their, they say they don't have the nuclear bomb, but they do. And it's this is a off-limits area here. You can't even, I was afraid to take a picture on the bus driving by on a highway, even though it was way off in the distance, because they said that they would confiscate it if they were going through customs and all. So that's Israel. Let's go to the next slide here. This is Beth Shean, okay? I know this is a whole, I guess, Roman ruins. It's quite a history here. This is a tale here. Go to the next slide, and then we'll come back to this one. This is looking down from that tale at this Roman ruins here. And now pop back one more time. Go back the other direction. When I came here in 77, with my first tour to Israel, we parked on top of this. None of these were all knocked over due to an earthquake here, and it was all covered, all ground. The four buses we had parked on top of this, they have stairs coming down now. I actually climbed to the top of the hill, took pictures, and then climbed back down for the discussion. They spoke, you know, they had the pastor and the expert on Israel spoke down here. But the bus is parked on top of this. Now flip it back to the other one, where we keep going the other one, this direction. None of this was there. There's a whole stadium here that wasn't there. That's just showing you what's coming out of the ground here. Now let me read a little bit about Beth Shean here. That's just the nature of history, you know. Destructions of battles, earthquakes, all that stuff. Yeah. Beth Shean is right below the Sea of Galilee. Okay. You want to go back to the map there? Let me go back to the map real quick. Right there. Beth Shean is about right over in there. So there's the Sea of Galilee. There's Beth Shean. There's Jerusalem right there. Okay. And I'm going to read you some insights on it here. Let's see. The Philistines apparently ruled the city for a time. According to the Bible, the Philistines exposed the bodies of King Saul and his son on the walls of Beth Shean after defeating the armies of Israel in the Battle of Gilboa. They put his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreth and fastened his body to the wall of Beth Shean. That's 1 Samuel 31. Later in 732 B.C., the Assyrian king Pilser the third came in and destroyed Beth Shean. So it's one war, destruction, earthquakes. But this is what they described it as from the Babylonian Talmud. It says, if Garden of Eden is in the land of Israel, then this the gate is Beth Shean. It was you can see how dry it looks, but at one time it was heavy vegetation and just a beautiful location there. So, you know, this is the evidence that's coming out of the ground of history. Now, these are cities destroyed, built on top, cities destroyed, built on top, cities destroyed. That's what a tell is. And there was actually ruins on top there from the latest. And you wouldn't even know that if you were standing there. You just think it was a hill. Okay, let's go to the next slide here. Next one. Now we're going to go to Shiloh. Now look at Shiloh here. You wouldn't even know there was anything really here. There's a church here. But just look at the surrounding territory here. I mean, you would think, well, you know, there's some, and these are all crops that the Israelis have produced. There's a, this is in the West Bank area. They have Jewish outposts on these areas, or little colonies that they have taken position on, but dominantly it's owned by the Arab community and all. So now go to the next slide here. Now, here's that same mountain. See this, get ready to go back one more. See this little coloration here, this mountain here, and the coloration, see, there it is right there. Okay, now go back. This here, that's the observation tower and museum they now have here. There was what they did is they found old churches, and the church had a reference to this area here. It was something, they found the ruins, and then they found another church that was even bigger. They dug up some more land there and deeper, and they dug up some more land and found another church. So these are all the things that pointed to this area. Now let me read you a little bit about Shiloh here. The three altar horns were discovered in some excavations at Shiloh. The horns are mentioned, and let me explain what they are. Shiloh served as a location for the Israelite tabernacle for over three centuries, and the altar fragments may have been part of an Israelite cultic system that operated there. What they're saying is that, and what they believe this is where the temple was when the portable temple, before it went to Jerusalem, was right here. Okay. Yeah, and in 1 Kings 1:50, it talks about Solomon's son. Solomon's son tried to take the king's position, the leader of Israel's position, and then there was a dispute, and they got, the priest and all together, and they voted Solomon in. And at that point, his son, his Adonijah, was the one trying to displace his father. And this is where he would have run to hang on to the altars, because when he was trying to usurp his father's power, and then it didn't happen, then he was concerned for his life. So he ran and he held on to the altar, the horns of the altar. And those were like it gave them protection. If you were a criminal and you grabbed onto one of those horns, you were protected in one sense. And that was what he was doing. And so we were up here looking down, and they said, well, where do you think, knowing the dimensions of the tabernacle, where it would be? And they have a perfect location right here, exactly where probably it was. So I just think that's so incredible. We were able to walk through the Book of Kings while we were there and to see it and the history.
Would that be the same place Eli was at then?
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. They had a couple different locations. You had Shiloh and Bethel. But they believe this is where the temple was at that time, and all. So the First Samuel would explain a lot of that time period in the Kings and probably Chronicles, and all. So that's and it's just amazing to see. But that wasn't there just a number of years ago. When I was there in 77, that wasn't even there. So they just discovered that. And one of the things the guy mentioned was he mentioned a guy named Scott Stripling. And rarely do they mention evangelical Christianity in a Jewish presentation, archaeological. He's the one that's been finding all this stuff. What he's been doing is he takes the Bible in one hand, he takes a spade in the other hand, and he follows the Bible and he digs with the spade, and they literally find everything, you know. And that's the amazing part of it all. So he's the one that found the horns in that particular arena. So you're seeing history, you're hearing about it, you've read about it, it's real, and this is it. Let's go to the next one now, next slide. Okay, this is Jerusalem North. I wanted to give you all a highlight, at least see Jerusalem on this little tour here, because I'm almost done. We got two more slides. This is the Dome of the Rock. Okay, this would be there's two pictures. I'm going to show you another picture, which would just be to the left of this one, which I call it Jerusalem South. So right here is, that's the Eastern Gate there. The Muslims have blocked that off so that Jesus can't come back. So they actually sealed that gate. They also, this is now a Muslim cemetery here, and the Jews don't like to, you know, they have certain ritual rules that don't allow them to get close to, you know, I guess foreign dead bodies and all. So the Muslims did that to prevent Jesus and to prevent the Jews from really using this area here. Now, these are all Jewish, and this is on the Mount of Olives looking down. So just to kind of give you a picture. So this is the valley here. And then right over here is some old ruins here. And then I'm going to show you the city of David right over here and all. But this is, it's a beautiful location. There's a lot, you're only seeing a part of it, so you're not seeing a lot of the vegetation. There's, you can see it over there, but it's all around here, just that it's so built up now. Okay, go to the next slide, please. This is Jerusalem south. There's that wall there. See, the Dome of the Rock would be about right here. Here's that wall here. And then this is the area I'm going to be talking about. This is the city of David here. Now, okay, go to the next slide. Okay, when we were there in 77, this was a parking lot here. And our buses parked here, and all the bus drivers got mad because they took away their parking lot, which was so convenient to the Temple Mount and Mount of Olives and everything else. And just look at all that. And this is the top portion. That wall is right over here that we saw from the other picture. And this was all a parking lot. We parked on top of that, too. So it's amazing, the two different views I have of it all. Okay, now go to the next slide. And this is underneath it now. Now go back one. Okay, see this? See all these houses? They're built over all this stuff. Okay, so go back to the one we just had. Now this is some mosaic tile and everything else from that time period of City of David. They found it, and so now they have to tunnel underneath it, and so they got to build. There's a whole village or urban area above this here, and they're doing that on and on and on. Now let me read you a little bit about that area there. The first archaeological excavation at the City of David took place in 1867 by Charles Warren. He entered through the Gihon Spring, which we've all read about, then continued to crawl through Hezekiah's tunnel, okay? Then he discovered a shaft that rises to the upward tunnel, the ancient water system that has been called Warren Shaft System. And so it all started back in here, but they were building. Go back a couple there. Let's see. Yeah, just right here. Go back one more. Let me show you. Yeah, right here. Okay, down here would be where Gihon Spring at, and then Hezekiah's tunnel is somewhere over in here. I climbed through one of those. We got to get in our bathing suits, and it's the history is all there, and also. You know, it's just a powerful situation when you see, when you're there and your bus is parking on it, and then you go back and there's this whole civilization. Okay, go to the last slide. I believe it's the last slide. Okay, Petra, this is postlude, yeah. Now, Deborah and I concluded our tour here. We were down in Eilat and took this is in Jordan. And now this is mentioned in the Bible, at least people believe it is. I'm sure most of y'all have heard of Petra, at least seen these kind of pictures here. But this little gap right here, if I was back another, 20 yards, it would be about as wide as, maybe from here, where I'm standing here to the end of the stage there. And that tunnel starts up top, and that's why they had some difficulties finding it, but it goes through these crevices. And all the way along here, they have figures carved in the mountainside like this. And so it was just really neat to come through this. So you can see the rock there, and you can see the rock there, how near it is. And you can get people up there, and they actually had donkeys and donkey carts going through this. But it's still very, very tight. And then it continues on around, and there's a whole other stadium over there. I wish I had a picture of that, but it's, unless you were flying over or knew exactly where it was, you would never see it, you know. And it's interesting because when the desolation, the abomination of desolation supposedly happens at the, when they rebuild the temple in Israel, and that's a whole other story talking about even the temple. This is where the Jews will run to hide. This is, and you can see why. It's just a huge Grand Canyon type of structure with all these things built in here. But when all hell's breaking loose at that point, you'll see the safety of this. You know, why would you want to run to a place like this? Well, when all hell's breaking loose, I think God's going to put his protective hand over this area here. So, you know, the past proclaims the future with the God's word, and the future will validate the past. And so there's so much more to Israel. You know, I wish I had time to, you know, but you got questions. There's a website called Bible History Online. If you know, if you got any more curiosity, questions about it, much insight online. But that's about it. And you know, just trust in God's word. That's all I can say. And I'll let you get going now. So,
you might as well. Anybody got questions? Because we got
2 minutes.
We only got about 5 minutes.
Did I go? The past validated will proclaim the future, and the future that we're living in now will validate the past. That's just, if you think it through, you know, it's just God's word.
How many times have you been over there?
Three times. Deborah's twice, and I've been there three times. We were there in 17, Deborah and I, and then 19 this year, and then I was there in 77. The first, when I got saved, I love traveling. I got saved in the Marine Corps. Hoorah. That was the first. I love traveling. Huh? 87. Thank you. 87. Thank you. In 87, that was the first place I wanted to go to. So I went over to Israel with Chuck Smith at that point on that tour. And that's where he had four buses, and we parked all down on top of that, Beth Sheehan. Now, when I went back.
When you say where Shiloh was, where you said the horns of the altar, have they actually found the altar with the horns? Or that?
No, they found the actual horns.
They found the actual horns.
Yeah, let me read. Three altar horns were discovered during ABR's excavation at Shiloh, Israel this season. So it was 2019. Horn 1, they give you the dimensions of it and all. This is from an archaeological source. Right. They give you the description. Only found three. They didn't find four. And then it says elevations of horn 1 elevations of the horn 1 and 2 are virtually identical, but the elevation of horn 3 measured 1 and what, I don't know what all that means. All three horns came from a general area of the monumental Iron Age building, which orients east and west. The same area yielded a ceramic pomegranate of Thutmose III's scarab, you know. So they're just finding all kind of history through there. And let's see. The original altar likely included four horns, like the four-horned Bathsheba altar that was dismantled and placed in the second usage of King Hezekiah's 8th century reforms. So a lot of this stuff, you know, they reuse it, you know, and they when something was destroyed, they use the whatever was destroyed, they use their blocks to rebuild stuff. And then but it's just amazing, like that tell. There's tells all through Israel, and you would just look at them and think, King Herod, right? You went to King Herod's palace, and from a distance it looks like a big mountain. Well, you get up in there, and there's a whole palace down inside there, you know, at least the flooring and the main structures that and all. But Bethshean got destroyed by an earthquake. That was what really took it under, and all those columns that we saw sticking up had all fallen down, so they were able to, you know, stand those back up. And all.
What is a tail?
A tail is it looks like a natural hill, but it's a ruin built on a ruin, and if you think about it, it's a defensive perimeter too. So back in those times, the better elevation you had, you know, you could defend yourself too. So they just kept building.
It's a man-made mountain, basically.
It's a man-made mountain, and just all ruins, you know. So you saw how high that tail was, mm-hmm. and so you could, and you know where the dirt came from to cover all that. I don't know. It wasn't volcanic activity. You wouldn't probably have gotten out of. Though there are a lot of volcanoes in that area. Yeah, yeah.
Basalt.
Basalt. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't Petra was created by a volcano, wasn't it? That's what I understand.
Well, probably so. I mean, I would say that it was. This looks like more of a sedimentary type of.
I just heard that. I don't know if
yeah,
it's true or not.
And also, I'm going to guess. To me, it looks like sedimentary. You know, the kind of like a Grand Canyon type of.
Right.
Though it doesn't have the layer, so it looks like this is all solid. So it could be. You know.
The entrance into it. How long a walk, or how far is it from the time you start walking into that crevice till you come out there? Do you remember?
Huh? Over a mile to a lower city here, but then it still goes on further down and into another valley. So it's a very interesting area, though. But you start at the top and then you walk down. We walked down. We had a time. We had to get back on the bus at a certain time, so we had to calculate, you know, their time going down to make sure we could calculate our time going. Especially we had to go back up and all. What impacted you on the trip? Well, I guess was the first trip different from your second trip than what you took? I mean, because you knew kind of what to expect in her second trip. Yeah, what was your highlight of all the trips? This is mine, because I like evidence that validates God's word, because I just want to encourage people that we can trust it. And but I mean, no matter where you look, I mean, seeing the military in action, knowing you know how close the enemies are. I mean, it's like if we were to compare Israel, it'd be like having if you had a house and you had a bad guy living in one of your bedrooms in your house, you know, that wanted to take your life, and they literally want to destroy Israel. They want to take it off the map, you know. And in fact, they just found out recently that. The Israel intel that Iran is trying to get missiles that are nuclear capable into Iran, Iraq, because they want that Islamic crescent to go from Iran all the way over to the Mediterranean Sea, and that's one thing that President Trump, when he went in there and kind of cut that ribbon. So it's not happening at this time. But if you hear about, and we don't hear about a lot of stuff. We get a little report from our tour guide. He was a former Israeli defense officer. Well, let me make a kind of a selling point here. Spruce Pine Baptist, First Baptist Church, Pastor Rocky. Branch, they're going to take a tour next year to Israel. So, you know, the local church going to Israel next year. So, but they found these missiles that were capable, and you know, Iran is trying to develop a nuclear bomb, and if they can get them closer to Israel, the better it is for them. So what we're not hearing is how Israel is actually defending themselves, and they're flying in under the radar through Russian radar and everything else and taking out sites in Iraq, which, you know, we took with American blood, and now it's, you know, had been somewhat turned back over to the enemy. Go back to that all the way back to the North Jerusalem picture. There it is. Right there is the Eastern Gate. Now there's three conjectures for the temple. Some believe that the actual temple is right underneath the Dome of the Rock. Then there's a southern conjecture that believes that it was down in the city of David, which they've just found, you know, the city of David. So they think that through some of the scripture that it leans, it might have been down here. Then there's a northern conjecture, which is called the Dome of the Spirit, which is right over here. And what's interesting is it's right in alignment with the Eastern Gate there. So that gate, there's a gate right there. You should see opening there, but they've blocked it. So it's kind of funny. They want to block Jesus from coming.
It was an arch, and they just filled in the arch.
Yeah, yeah. arch.
And then the Muslims, that wasn't enough. That's why they put the cemetery right in front of the Eastern Gate, because they knew the Jews that would be a defiled area.
Right.
And so they did that, put all those graves there in hopes to keep Jesus out.
Yeah, and thank you for helping to clarify that. This is the Mount of Olives here, and this is what's going to split in half when Christ comes back in Revelation 19. And then you'll see a river that goes to the Mediterranean and then all the way back to the Dead Sea, which will actually replenish the Dead Sea, which is interesting. The Dead Sea, it's starting to squirt out life now all around the premises. They had sinkholes. Fresh water is now coming in. They're finding freshwater fish in there. That's never happened before. So there's some things going on that, bring our attention to that land. I always tell my Marine Corps buddies, and I give them what I call biblical S2 updates, and I send them stuff, what Russia's doing, what Turkey's doing. Turkey's to be a strong ally of Russia, and they've basically turned their back on Israel now. Turkey was a strong ally of Israel. Did I say that correctly the first time? Russia, yeah. Turkey. Now Turkey is working, aligned with Russia, which is amazing. So you got Iran, you got Russia, you got Turkey, you got, they believe that Ethiopia will tie into that, and also Libya, those countries there. And I've been telling my buddies, you keep an eye on these countries, because they're going to come after Israel. But I always wondered, how would they get everything? They had incredible logistics coming all the way from Russia. They'd have to get aircraft and go through the Black Sea and then through the Bosporus Straits there in Istanbul and then come on down into the Mediterranean. Now they're all in Syria. A large cargo ship went in, a Russian cargo ship went in and started putting off tanks and heavy equipment. And so they have airfields now. They have a deep sea water port. They have the S-300 missile in Syria now, all supplied by courtesy of the Russians. Same missiles that Turkey has taken in too. So you can see this alliance building up, and you can see that all the pieces are in. All the Russians got to do is go back to the one of the map there, if you would. Let's see here. If you got a jet flying at twice the speed of sound, and all you got to do is act like you're doing a practice mission, and then all you got to do is just, if you're coming from south to north, just take a right-hand turn. How quick could someone, this is probably, I wish I could give Bud he's an F-4 pilot. How many minutes would it take to, if you were going full speed and they just took a right-hand turn and banked in?
Minutes,
yeah. That's how quickly Russian aircraft could be. Now they have Russian soldiers, and what they're saying is that this is the Golan Heights here. This is a big issue. They found a bunch of oil here. They found incredible amounts of natural gas out here now. And all. So these things are unfolding because in the Ezekiel passage it says they come after their riches. Well, Israel didn't have a whole lot of riches, but let me tell you where their wealth is. They now have the largest natural gas field in the world out here. They found excessive oil in the Golden Heights. That's why they want to hang on. Plus, it's strategic. This is a higher ground. See this higher ground right here? The Jordanians and the Syrians used to fire artillery right down into the kibbutzes and all. And so until the Israelis took this high ground back. But they say that there's Russian soldiers that would be right along here keeping ISIS and any bad guys from coming into Israel. Well, basically right now all the Russians got to do is do an about face, and they would be coming right into Israel. Any other questions at all? No, it's kind of a shotgun. How are we doing for time?
Very interesting.
Yeah, but so much more.
Just a couple things to add on, Ern. You probably have heard recently that Russia has a natural gas pipeline going into Europe.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they've completed it yet.
Right.
But President Trump is basically leaning heavily on Europe. Like, why are you buying natural gas from the Russians, because all they got to do is cut it off and you're dead. It's interesting that you say there's natural gas right there in the Mediterranean. It would be something that would be attractive to the Russians as a closer source for their pipeline.
Well, and also the Israel is going to build the pipeline from wherever the source is right out here. They just towed in a platform out there, one of those big natural gas oil platforms, mm-hmm. to harvest it, and they're going to run a pipeline. So what is that going to do to Russia?
Yeah.
That's going to make them, they'll start losing any profit.
Exactly. Well, and it will make it attractive for them to attack.
Yeah.
Because it's like money in the bank to them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just another reason, because the Bible does say prophetically that Russia's going to be the leader of the attack against Israel, and so you have to say, ask yourself, why would Russia do that? Well, we're starting to see reasons why Russia would want to do that. Yeah. Natural gas being one of them, plus whatever other assets that are in Israel that they might want to have.
One last quote: pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes, and we're already over time. I do want to make one more little quick point, Dave. Can you go back to the Eastern Gate picture? Talking about the arch that the Muslims filled in so Jesus wouldn't come back. In the book of Numbers, there's a story about when Balaam is sent out to curse the Israelites in the desert, and he stands up on top of the mountain, and he's trying to curse them, but only blessings come out. That's the part of Scripture where it describes the number of the people who are in the different tribes and how they are centered around, you know, they have the Ark of the Covenant in the middle, and then they have three tribes on each of the four sides, and it's shaped like a cross. And when Balaam is up looking down on the mountain at the people of Israel, he's looking at a cross, because you got the three smaller tribes on one side, the three longer on the other, and the two eastern or the two sideways ones are almost the same number of people. But it's interesting, if you read that story, he is looking at the cross from the east. And as the cross is traveling across the wasteland, it's always pointing to the east. And I just thought that was interesting, that it's the eastern wall that Jesus is going to come through. So it's yet another picture in the Old Testament of something that's going to happen. And Scripture says Jesus is going to be coming through the Mount of Olives from the east, and they can fill that little gap in if they want. It's not going to stay filled in. But Vern, thank you very much for the talk. It was very interesting. I learned a lot, and it's just nice to see that we're still, even today, I mean, more stuff is happening today than really ever any other time. We're seeing the truths of the Old Testament come out, and we can have confidence in the future. So that was very good. Appreciate it. So word of appreciation for Vern. Okay.